Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Q3 FY23 earnings call of Info Beam Technologies Limited. Thank you for joining the call. Now I will hand over the call to Surabhi for the introduction. Over to you, Surabhi.
Thank you, Pratik. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining the Q3 earnings call of Info Beam Technologies Limited. The requested and investor update have been mailed to you, and it is also available on the stock exchange. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us all three co-founders, Mr. Avinash Sethi, Mr. Mitesh Vora, and Mr. Siddharth Sethi. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow the Q&A session. Kindly ask your question by raising hand after the brief overview by Avinash is over, and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you will find on our website. With that said note, I turn over the call to Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you very much, Surabhi, and Pratik. Thank you all the investors and shareholders for this time to attend this call. Let's start with the slides, Surabhi. May I also wish each one of you a very happy new year. Info Beam, as you know, is a company founded in 2000. It's a publicly listed digital transformation product engineering firm. We are based out of countries like U.S., Europe, for Germany and Czech Republic in Europe, Dubai in Middle East, and in India. In India, we're present in Indore, Pune, Chennai, and Vadodara. We focus on the new age technologies and the platforms like Salesforce, ServiceNow, UiPath, Automattic, and we believe that this is our vehicle to lend into large accounts and be able to expand into those accounts and deliver repeatedly high-value services to our customers. We have been serving large enterprise clients, and if you look at, we have unicorns, we have Fortune 500 clients, and we have billion-dollar accounts to our kitty. In the first nine months, we've been able to deliver 302 crores of top line, and an EBITDA of 69 crores and a PAT at 31 crores. We have been accumulating cash, and we have about 169 crores of cash and cash equivalents, where we include ARs also, account receivables as well. We've been able to grow at a 55% revenue growth for the first nine months of this fiscal year. The awards and partnerships I talked about, one of the particular awards that we got very recently, and I'm very proud to announce that actually there are two of them. One is the best companies, the top 100 best companies in India to work for.
Sorry to interrupt, Avinash. The sound, you're on mute or something, I guess. Just check. Okay.
Okay. No, no issues.
Yeah, now.
This is the team that we are very proud of, and we depend heavily on them to take the business further. They are experts in their field, and we have so many names here. We've been with Infobeans for a long time. Next, please. Yeah, the same year, you know, we very accomplished team members with us. You know, if you look at Kandani, is with us for 19 years. You know, Kanupriya for 14 years and so on. Next, please. Yeah, so here we come to the key number today for the quarter ending in December 2022. Revenue has been flat from 102 crores to 102 crores quarter on quarter, but it has gone up 38% YOY as compared to 74 crores of last December. EBITDA is at 23 crores, which is interestingly, it is 23 crores in all the three columns here. It is flat as compared to the sequential quarter. PAT is down 9% from 10 crores to 9 crores on sequential basis, but you know, it is also down as compared to December 21. And then there is a new rule that we have introduced this time. It is cash flow after tax, which means that what is the cash that we are adding to the business, which is after non-cash expenses. So we are you know, adding 13 crores this quarter as compared to 14 last and as compared to 17 a year ago. Next, please. When I look at 9 months here, we have grown 55% on a 194 crore number, which was our 9 months revenue number last year for the same 9 month period. And we have grown on EBITDA also by 24%. PAT is down by 21%. There is a component of other income that we got in the first 9 months last year, which was a US government grant of about 7 crores. So if I remove that, then we are a little flattish here. CFAT is here at, you know, up by 8%. So we are adding cash to the business in the first 9 months. And on the USD revenue terms, the dollar terms, we have grown 54% YOY. Here's a breakup by geography. Interestingly, we are able to consciously reduce our U.S. dependence from 90% 2 years ago to probably 70% this time. Europe has grown very well for us. Middle East has grown very well for us, and so is India. Middle East is inclusive of, I would say, the rest of the world, including Middle East, which is about 5%. ANZ and Singapore is about another 2%. DT and product engineering and deal transformation are more or less equal, 50-50 each. By business, we are doing, you know, since we have Infobeans Cloud Tech as a separate entity, as a separate subsidiary, they are contributing 16% to the business, you know, about 16 crores to the top line. In the first 9 months, we have added eight new billion dollar accounts to our kitty, as compared to what we were in March 2022. We only had six organizations which were $1 billion plus revenue category, and we are today at 14 of them, which is a very good sign in terms of the presence into large enterprise customers, where we can expand and generate a lot of repeat business. And particularly in this quarter, we added four new clients, added and signed contracts of $3 million worth, and we have a high visibility and power pipeline of about $40 million for the next 12 months. This, let me also tell you, this is a combination of order book and a pipeline where we are fairly confident. This is not equivalent to signed order book. Next, please. We recently concluded, I think just 3 days ago, we concluded a Infobeans Innovation Day in Indore and Pune offices. This is a very interesting event, and I would want to spend a couple of minutes here to share with you that we've been doing this in 2019 and 2020, and then we lost a couple of years because of COVID. Now we are back with a bang. And since we have two, you know, big presence team in two two big teams in locations like Indore and Pune, we actually did twice the size of the Innovation Day that we used to do in 2020. So we had 20 ideas shortlisted from 60 ideas on each of them on new technologies like blockchain, metaverse, AI, ML, automation, hardware-related stuff, IoT kind of stuff. So we asked our teams to, you know, make a group of 5 each or 6 each and come up with an idea of their own using any of these technologies, experimented towards the, see, December quarter is a lean quarter. So we've used that time to learn and experiment with new technologies. And they are then, you know, showcasing their technologies and experiments in an event like this, you know, 5 of them on the stage and 10 of them with the booths that are visited by customers, select customers, by select investors, by select colleagues of the industry, and the student community from that city. So it's a conglomeration of, you know, all kinds of people asking all kinds of questions. And these people, these team members are explaining their product and prototype solutions and prototype on the screen or off the screen. So this was a wonderful show, and we are happy that it allowed the team members to have innovative ideas coming to the surface. Also bond among each other, you know, and show their strength in terms of doing a great amount of teamwork. So that's not a like picture of 21st January and 26th of January, just 3-4 days ago. So the esteemed clients, we talked about it in the past also, ALM being the oldest account here. This company is 172-year-old brand. IQVI is on the top accounts that we have here, risk management and TripAdvisor and so on. Next, please. This is the last 5-year journey, 6-year journey that we have growing at a fast pace, trying to maintain our EBITDA and PAT margins. 24% is a steady state margin, 14% is a PAT margin that we typically like to maintain and aim to maintain. Next, please. This is one slide that I want to spend time on where, you know, think of InfoBeans as a company running with 2 engines. The first engine is organic, which is taking the ship into a particular direction at a certain pace. And inorganic is another engine that is acting as a booster, and it is propelling the ship in the same direction that the organic engine is propelling. So it is adding up to the same set of capabilities, same set of directions, same set of market geography. So when you look at the organic strategies, we want to grow in all the 3 geographies that we are in, and you would see that we are growing in all the 3 geographies. We have sales presence, we have physical offices, we have lead generation team sitting and in India and building business, generating business leads for them. We are expanding in our existing accounts. We are leveraging Salesforce, ServiceNow partnership, and now I will add UI and Automatic also, UiPath and Automatic also to this list, which allows us to enter into enterprise clients and then continue to build our R&D capabilities like the Innovation Day that just we talked about and focus on the North American market because still it's the largest market. So these are the set of strategies that we've been following from the day or even before we became public. So this has not changed over the years. It just added up, you know, every year with a new partnership or a new edition of geography. On the inorganic side, we continue to focus on companies that either enhances our existing capability or allows us to buy additional capability where we are very bullish on, where we are very positive that the market is needing those technologies and our customer sets are requiring those technologies. So if we acquire those capabilities, we'll be able to expand much faster. So that is what we want to do. We want to continue to leverage our India base for offshore presence. So and with the last 2 acquisitions, we've been able to meet this inorganic pace also. Next, please. Yeah, so this is, I think, one hypothesis that I keep sharing every time is we are growing ourselves at a pace that we're doubling ourselves in revenue every 3 years. So it's 17 to 20, FY 18 to 21, 19, 22. And with the current pace, we'll certainly be able to meet that FY 20 number. Actually, if we'll be able to short circuit FY 21 as well, we're hoping to double ourselves in just 2 years period itself. As I said, we are very hopeful about the business moving forward. Decent pipeline. YOY, we have grown at, in the first 9 months, we've grown at 55%, which is significant. And we have cash in the bank, and we have pretty strong, I would say, capability set to take us further. Next, please. Yeah, we talked about Innovation Day. Next, please. We, I'm sure our community, investor community is aware that we are on the BSE as well. We got the honor of our beloved CM, Shivraj Singh Chauhan, to come and, do the opening bell ceremony for us for the BSE in Mumbai. We are investing, we're giving back in the community and, there is a society here close to Indore where we continue to fund the fee for 25 students from rural background and underprivileged background to complete their college education and also to build their career successfully in IT and non-IT industry as well. Next, please. Yeah, next. Yeah, so some detail on the numbers, on the quarterly comparison, and the 9 month comparison as well. So, total revenue for December 22 stands at 102 crores, and December 21 it was 74, so there was a jump there. And the EBITDA remains flat. PAT has reduced from 17 to 9, which we know that, and we've talked about it several times in the past calls. 2 years ago, we took a very conscious call that we are willing to capture the top line. We are investing in getting the services delivered to our customer first, and we'll worry about the cost later. That strategy is actually played out because we have jumped up very significantly from our number, December 21 number to December 22 numbers. And we are also consciously aware that there is a cost pressure. We should optimize our internal systems and processes and, you know, increase our rates to the customers, increase the bottom of the pyramid, reorganize the pyramid in a way that we can generate better margins moving forward. And I'm sure we'll be able to do that in time to come. Let me also tell you that we have another bad quarter in terms of PAT. This quarter we'll have a one-time hit of the retention bonuses that we have committed 18 months ago to our team, and that is due in March 23. On the 9 months, if you look at it, or even if you look at compare December 22 to 9 months of December 22 to year ended in March 22, we are doing better than the yearly number of last year itself. 289 crores to 302 crores in just 9 months is the kind of growth that we are pushing and generating from the business. Next, please. So thank you very much for your patience to hear the story out. I'll invite question and answers from the community out there. If you can, Pratik, if you can coordinate that, it would be great.
Yeah, so for the question and answers, ladies and gentlemen, just raise your hands and then we will allow you to ask your questions. So first question comes from the line of Garvit Goyal. I have unmuted your line. You can go ahead, Garvit.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Yeah.
Sir, my question is with regard to those acquisitions only, because in last 9 months, Y&Y, we increased our revenue definitely by more than 60%, but that is not getting reflected in the same proportion to EBITDA and definitely not to PAT, because PAT is decreased, right? But the ultimate goal for acquisitions is definitely the increment in the value of the shareholders. And for shareholders, the matters what matters is the EPS and ROCE, obviously. So, which seems to be compromising the acquisitions for right now. So, how the situation shall be improved from here in the terms of PAT margins, sir?
So, Garvind, I'm not sure if you are following the acquisition and the numbers. The numbers that are coming from the last acquisition is actually value accretive. Their EBITDA margin and PAT margins are wonderful. So they are helping us in everything, in top line, in bottom line, everything, and even in the capabilities, which is what we got them on board. So it is actually helping us the other way.
But sir, I am talking about the overall PAT margin, sir. Why means I am not getting the thing that revenue is increasing, EBITDA is increasing, but that is
no,
not
no,
getting
so,
converted.
So the PAT, see, Garvit, there is a cost to, and I think I have mentioned it multiple times in the past, that is a strategy. We are willing to capture the revenue first. And if you are tracking IT industry, you would know that the cost has skyrocketed for the talent. And if I have to, you know, pay a top dollar for getting my talent onboarded, you know, that is where the margins are going to take a hit. And we took that conscious call that we are willing to take a hit on the bottom line. We first want to secure our top line. And we are consciously working towards that process, where we are improving and optimizing our costs so that we come back and bounce back to our previous margins, both on the EBITDA and PAT levels. So it's a work in progress. It cannot happen just like that.
So that is the plan. Definitely you must have any timeline, internal timelines also to get your focus towards the PAT, right? Means currently I agree with you, we are focusing on revenues. But going forward, definitely you must have...
Garvit, it's not a switch that I put on and put off. We are consciously working from the day one on you know, increasing and optimizing our bottom line also. But it is the market, right? I mean, it is the cost that I have to incur in terms of the salaries, in terms of you know, the training and even hiring. So that is there, and it will take some time to recover. So it's not that we are now starting to think about it. We've been thinking about it and working towards it, but it will drill down into the bottom line after a period of time. Right? So it is a process, and it is continuing, and we are consciously aware of it, and we are as much hard as you are to see that the numbers are going down on the PAT margins. But we are extremely happy that the numbers on the top line is going so well. 55% on a 9-month period is a phenomenal growth. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I'm already agreeing with that. And I mentioned also revenue is good. That is not a concern for me. And you are doing no better. But the point is, I just want to know what's internally you are thinking. What's your thinking process? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, we are thinking every other day, you know. And trust me, everybody is not in this room, but everybody else outside are so upset with me tracking every expense.
Okay, all the best to you, and that's it.
Next, please.
9 crore PAT is after recovering a proportionate cost of acquisition of almost 8 crores. To charge that depreciation.
Yeah. So Kunal has a very interesting point to say that there is a depreciation factor to it where we are paying towards the acquisition, where we are accommodating depreciation and amortization towards the acquisition also, which is the number. So the PAT that you're seeing has after reducing 8 crores towards depreciation for acquisition for 9 months. So that's another interesting thing to note. No, in the 9 months. Yeah, so if you look at this CFAD, we're doing better from the previous 9 months. Right?
Yes. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Gurbir. So the next question comes from the line of Rajesh Chaudhary. Rajesh sir, I have unmuted your line. You can go ahead. Rajesh? Yeah, you can go ahead, Rajesh.
It's some issue, I think you have to look at somebody else.
So we can take the next question from Hiten Muchhala. Hiten, you can go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Hiten. You can go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Avinash, and hi, Siddharth and Mitesh. First of all, I think I'll start saying that I was a part of the Innovation Day at Pune. And all the fellow shareholders that are listening to me, I would urge them to be a participant next time. Because it really goes on to show what kind of culture Infobean is building and what kind of talent pool do they have. Also, what I was amazed to see was the collaborative effort done between a very recently acquired company, Eternus, with Infobean. And that as a shareholder gives me a lot of confidence. So, I mean, I think that's the first thing that I would like to start with. Secondly, my question is to Mitesh. I would like to know, last 2 years we have seen a lot of salary pressures on the IT industry in particular. But somehow this year there seems to be geopolitical issue going forward. And how do you see the demand levels, especially from North America, if you can give us some idea and guidance on next 1 or 2 years going forward? Thank you.
Sure. First of all, thank you so much for taking the time on a Saturday, spending time away from the family and spending with us in Pune. Really appreciate that. To answer your question, I want to qualify that first by saying that this is our view, and this is one data point. One of the most significant things that we have seen happen, the last recession happened, a major one, happened in 2008-09 time frame. And almost everybody was as if anticipating and wanting a recession to come, and everybody getting spooked all at the same time, creating some sort of a self-fulfilled prophecy. This is what we believe is happening in the market, and everybody wanting to be ahead in the game and not getting caught with their pants down. But the real impact from a market standpoint, from a demand standpoint, is everybody suddenly goes in a wait and watch mode. That's one side of the table. Now you look at the reality on the ground. The reality on the ground, COVID in the last 3 years has created this massive momentum on digital transformation. Businesses which were generating physical products, businesses which were letting consumers consume them physically, suddenly realized that if they don't create digitally and they don't have digital consumption, they will be so far left behind in the race. That last 3 years has created a worldwide momentum on digital transformation. Of course, a lot of other things happened. The great resignation, as we all know, happened. A lot of life realization from COVID in terms of people wanting to spend more quality time, people wanting to do jobs that they want to do. And we see the rest is history in terms of what that resulted in, massive amount of wage inflation. Because everywhere we ended up finding staff shortages. So that was the counter effect that we saw of all the demand that got generated. And again, I'm coming back to this, the same disclaimer view that this is one data point. what that did to a lot of people is spook them. But what people are doing at this point of time, in our view, is they are simply creating a pent-up demand. The demand seems to be receding or slowing down. In some cases, the demand is collapsing, so to speak, at least in certain industries. But what that, in our opinion, what that is going to do is, in our firm belief, we think work still needs to get done. Who's going to do that work? In a global perspective, India, in our opinion, still remains a go-to destination when it comes to doing services at a world-class quality, and being able to deliver them both cost-efficiently as well as with a high-value proposition. So from that perspective, we believe we remain positioned very well as long as we continue to invest in the right set of technologies and tools that will not only continue to create momentum for all the work that still needs to get done, but also the next set of frontiers. And Hiten, you probably observed some of those frontier technologies that were on display in Pune, the next day, of course, in Indore. That's the two-pronged approach that we continue to want to take, that we want to be there to cater to all of that momentum that's there, and want to continue to provide the support with our existing digital transformation sets, the likes of Salesforce and ServiceNow and whatnot, but at the same time continue to invest in frontier technologies along the lines of AI, ML, Metaverse, blockchain type of technologies to ensure that when the tide turns, we are ready with the capabilities to cater to the market. I hope I have addressed your question. Of course, it was a very long answer, but I do hope I have addressed your question.
Yeah. So, Mitesh, would it be fair to assume that the organic side of our business, Avinash mentioned that we are trying to ride on two engines. One is organic and inorganic. So the organic side of the demand, there probably could be some sort of tapering off. Would that be fair to assume? Because you are actually in touch with the customers on ground.
Could you repeat the last part? Fair to?
It is tapering, the organic piece of demand.
The organic piece tapering, is that the question?
Yeah, okay. Correct.
So as I said, when everybody decides that recession does come. Therefore, suddenly you would see pause and tapering of that demand. But we firmly believe that is going to be a short-term phenomena. Whether it is 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, that's anybody's guess. Your guess is as good as mine, because there are so many different market forces that would be at play. But what we do believe, that in the long run, there is enough momentum, there is enough demand. India, Infobeans particularly, as a value creation organization, working in a mode where we have very effective co-shore, both our U.S. presence with design and innovation, our India presence with core engineering, being able to convert some of these ideas into enterprise-grade and scalable technology implementations, we believe we are positioned very well. Despite of this tapered demand, it's a matter of riding this out for however many months that we foresee that to happen. And in the meanwhile, this becomes a conscious effort to double down on our own investments in technology. So that's sort of, again, a slightly outside of India perspective that I bring to the table. I hope that is useful for you.
Right. Thank you so much. And best wishes all of you.
Thank you.
Participants,
those who want to ask a question, they can raise their hands. And then we can give the permission to ask the question. The next question comes from the line of Shobhit Singhal. Shobhit, I have unmuted your line. You can ask the question.
Hello.
Yeah, you're audible.
I have been asked, sir, and good to see all three together. Mitesh, Sir, and Siddharth, sir. Sir, my question is, do we have like miscalculated the demand and hired people aggressively more than we require.
So Shobhit, the answer from that is no, because our utilization levels are pretty high. You know, even before COVID, the kind of utilization levels we had, during the COVID, it actually went up to 85%. So 75 to 85% kind of a number. And we are back to 75 kind of a number. So I would say we are utilizing our team fairly well. It was overutilized in the last 2 years. So there is no such thing as, you know, hiring, overhiring and you know, the laying off, just like product companies do. So we don't have to worry about that part. As I said, I think I've mentioned earlier also, we have done multiple appraisal cycles during the year, and that hit was as much as 40% on a company-wide cost. And the second hit was on the retention bonus that we agreed to take, and plus stock options. So there are multiple things that we've done to keep retain our people. Otherwise, the kind of growth that we have delivered would not have been possible. We had to pay for the talent, and we paid for the talent. So it was as simple as that. But yes, there is a long-term impact of it, and as I said in my earlier answer, we are fairly aware of it. And if you look at the EBITDA margins, we are more or less there. It is the other things that are, you know, that needs to address fairly well.
Okay, thank you.
I do
want
to add one.
Yes.
I do want to add one very small piece to this. Hopefully for the benefit of the larger audience that's attending this call. What you are witnessing, observing, noticing in the news cycles, the news about the layoffs in the U.S. market. If you peel one layer of the onion there, you will see that bulk of it, by and large, it is coming from product outfits. And the simple reason is the last 3 years of digital transformation made them think that the world is going to continue to operate in a remote mode. World is coming back to a more normal mode. But then because of a lot of that overplanning, they have done that. But when it comes to companies like ours, the systems integrators, the implementers, we make our customers' digital transformation dreams come true. We provide that as a service. That is a very sort of closely run function when it comes to just-in-time design. And that industry, again, I do not need to be an industry expert to tell you that last 20, 25 years of that maturity is already there in the industry in India. And Infobeans is no exception there. We have been continuously maturing ourselves in making sure that we do not build overcapacity because we are a systems integrator. So I hope that classification and that differentiation, what's being seen in the news media cycles, does not cloud investors' judgment on what the state of IT and integration industry generally. So that's what I wanted to add.
Okay. Thank you, Shobhit. And the next question comes from the line of Ansh Gandhi. Ansh, you can unmute yourself.
Yeah, hi. I'm audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what is our attrition? Hi, how are you?
Very well.
I wanted to ask, what is our attrition rate for this quarter and how do we see ourselves in the next 6 months? What is the attrition rate that you see?
So the attrition demon is totally gone. We are at a single digit on a month basis and probably 12% on a quarterly basis. If I just look at the last quarter. And analyze it, it is 12%. There is no such attrition thing that is worrying us.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's fairly protected there.
Yeah, the another question was that in the investor presentation slides, I saw that you see a 40 million order pipeline. So is that a fixed order pipeline or that is something that you are assuming for the next 12 months?
No, it is a combination of the order book which is signed. It is a so it's a combination of order book, signed order book, the order book that we know we are in discussion, plus the pipeline based on our experience of our customers, where we know these are repeat businesses, there are phases that we know of those projects will continue. So it is a fair bit of estimate also. So it's a combination of three things, so to speak.
Okay, thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ansh. So participants, just a reminder, those who want to ask a question, they can raise their hands. In the meantime, there are a few questions in the chat box, question and answer. So the question from the Rajesh Chaudhary is, consolidated revenue are flat and the operating margins have done from 26% in December 21 to 18.6% in 2022 December. So.
Okay. So if we look at the, this is the quarterly number, December 21 to, yeah. So when you look at December 21 number and compare that with December 22 number, we did better in those years because we were still not having full impact of the salary cost and the utilization levels were high. So that is where the difference is coming in for the quarter. But if I look at the 9 months, then the difference will also be because of the other income that we had in the first 9 months, precisely in the September 21 quarter, where we had about 7 crores from the US government as a grant. So that way, these are the two comparisons if you want to look at, quarter on quarter and year on year for the 9 months. So maybe you can go to the next question here.
Yeah, you can go ahead in the next question of Balu.
Yeah.
So the next question from the Balu is like, how much is our Infobeam stake company taking competition like KPIT and Tata Elxsi and Coforge and L&T, etc. companies? Because compared to the companies, the stock value past 6 months is decreasing. So that's the question.
So there are two parts to the question. One is the stock value between these companies. So I'm sorry, I can't answer that because I have no idea what moves the stock up and down. I can have Siddharth answer the competition part between these large players or maybe mid-sized players, and we can actually add to the list of Infosys, TCS, Capgemini. So that we want to answer, how do we handle the competition or how do we see the competition coming to us?
Sure, thanks. Thanks for the question. The question is valid. We have not only these three or four companies, Tata Elxsi, KPIT, these are companies that we deeply admire, but we don't have competition just from these companies. There are probably 1,000, maybe 2,000 more companies in this list that we compete against. Our competition is purely based on the value add that we can provide and our ability to convince our customers how best we can add value to their projects and to their end result and through their digital journey. So this is what we are trying to do. Me, Avinash, Mitesh, the entire team at Infobeams, we're trying every day, every night, to try and add more and more value to what we are doing. What the others are doing, as Avinash said, this is something that we cannot really comment on, but the competitors list is much more than this, unfortunately.
No, to add to this, I think, see, in services business, it is very important that you deliver what you promise and also go beyond the call of duty and maybe, you know, delight your customer, create wow for them. And that is our constant endeavor, that every time we deliver something for our customer, we also try and apply our consultative mind and try and see what additional we can offer to them and make their lives easier, or you know, save money for them, or you know, increase their speed or go to market. So that is a constant effort that you know continues, and that is also visible in the kind of repeat business that we get from our customers, which is usually, you know, for all these 23 years, every year, that is more than 90%. So that tells, that should tell you that the clients trust us and they believe in us. And there's a more matter of fact that there are at least five big captives, which are all Fortune 500 companies, companies which have captives in India. And we also continue to work for them year over year. So they are not only dependent on their captains, but they are also dependent on us simultaneously, and not taking away work from us and giving it to their own captains only. So that is the kind of trust and confidence that the customers have on Infobeans and its team. Maybe we can go to the next.
So before going to the next Q&A from the chat box, we have a question from Saurabh Bhardia. So I am unmuting your line. Saurabh, you can go ahead.
Yeah. So congratulations on the brilliant set of numbers, and great to see the company growing for last 10 years. I mean, your top line has become the bottom line for last, say, 5-7 years, and wish to see this happens another in next 5 years. Again, your top line becomes your bottom line. So, and great to
thank you,
and excellent to watch to see you are walking the talk which you do for last 5-7 years. So again, congratulations to all of you. So my question is regarding the shareholding pattern. What I see is it is very closely held companies, 75% being held by the promoter and rest 25% by the public shareholding. So and you have been meeting lot of institutional investors, broking community for last 1 quarter, I think so, as per the submissions which you have done in the exchange. So is it fair to assume that people don't find enough liquidity in your stock to have sizable entry? Is it fair to assume, or is there anything other than what I'm assuming?
That's a good groundwork you've done, Saurabh. Let me first thank you for your praise that you showered on us. Second, yes, we've been meeting a lot of institutions on various other ideas. As you know, that we've been using organic and inorganic strategies for growth of the business. We thought that the kind of value that we want to generate out of this business, we will need more funding moving forward. And that is when we were talking to these institutions, so that we are readying our war chest for any new acquisitions. But yeah, you know, markets are also driven by several other factors, both macro and micro. So, and it also takes time, right? Like, just like for acquisitions also. I remember the first one took one full year to mature from the first meeting to the last signing on the dotted line. You know, people take their time to absorb the story, understand the business, you know, wait for the results to come out and verify all the things that you talk about, whether it is being delivered on the ground or not. So I'm assuming that this is the seed that we have sown, and whenever the next thing happens, I'm sure everybody will know. So yeah, we were trying to, you know, raise funds and meet institutions so that we are prepared ahead of time for the new big acquisition.
Thank you, and all the best for a great, great future, and hope the similar story is repeated in next 5-7-10 years. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Saurabh. So the next question comes from the line of Richa. Richa, you can unmute yourself.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Good to see the entire team. My question is regarding, you know, in the last call you had commented that, you know, you would be putting in efforts to increase the rates and pass on the cost to the customer. So given the demand environment and, you know, all the competition, if you could provide some color on that effort, how is that going? And, you know, if not in this quarter, do you see, is there any visibility of these costs, increased costs being passed on to the customers? Also, just to add to we have always, we have aimed to, you know, grow double revenues, you know, every 2 to 3 years with a margin of 24%. So do you still have this visibility? I mean, let's say this environment continues for another 6 to 9 months or 1 year. Would you still maintain that kind of, not exactly guidance, but you have that kind of visibility and confidence?
Thank you, Richa. You have actually asked three questions. The first one is whether we are able to increase our rates. And I'll actually ask Jitendra, who is also there on the call, and Siddharth to address those points. Before they jump on, I'll address your other points on whether we are optimistic about the growth. We certainly are. And we have delivered, you know, the first set of numbers, as you already see. We are fairly bullish, positive, optimistic for the next, you know, foreseeable future. And I'm saying at least next 5-7 years. Whether we will be able to double every 2 years or 3 years or whatever that duration is, we certainly aim for it. And, you know, in the past decade or so, we've been able to deliver that. We will continue to aim for it and continue to, you know, attempt to deliver it. Whether it happens or not, only time will tell. And the other thing is, we don't see market as bad. I wonder why people are seeing market. And Mitesh has already pointed about it. 6 months, 12 months, we don't see any, you know, negative sentiment on the client base that we are. Yes, you know, one or two clients will slow down, but then there will be one or two clients which will, you know, ramp up. Which is a normal business case. What I'm seeing now is that we're back to the normal world. We had a lot of insanity in the last 3 years, in all directions, in all dimensions, and that I've been telling again and again in the past calls. Good to note that we are back into sanity. We are back into 12% kind of attrition rate. We are back to, you know, where the sales team have to make an effort to get a customer. We are back to the hard work where, you know, clients are conscious about the quality that they want. We are back to sanity in terms of salary discussions that we are having. We are back to people thinking long-term rather than short-term. So that's a very good environment that we are back into. But as Mitesh suggested, the entire dynamic has changed where people want technology as an important and a critical piece to their business, which is where India is the best location to get all of those transformation, digital transformation pieces done. And we are witnessing that benefit all across, you know, right from Infosys to a small company like Infoqueens. So now I'd like Jitendra and Siddharth talk about whether we are able to increase our rates with the customers or not, and what is the scene looking moving forward. Over to you, Jitendra, please.
Thank you so much, Avinash. So yes, as Avinash rightly mentioned, I think there are two ways to look at it.
Is it possible for you to put on your video, please?
I am trying to do it. Says host has stopped. So can you just do that?
Okay, that's fine. Continue.
Okay. Just to answer your question, Richa. It is not the right way to look at it that when my cost increases from a consulting business standpoint to pass it on to the customer. The way I would look at it more is there a way I can balance out the cost? One. And second, am I able to deliver the values to the customer which they feel that for every single dollar which they are spending, they are getting better ROIs. And hence, they are ready to increase the bill rate rather than reciprocating with the saying, hey, my cost is increasing, so increase my bill rate, that won't be the right way to look at it. Having said that, I think the approach which Avinash also spoke about earlier, that, hey, can we build the consultative mindset? Can we build the accelerators? And that's why we are able to deliver better ROI for the customers. And hence customers will be ready to pay extra dollars in terms of bill rate. That's how I would look at it. Is there a pressure in the market for the bill rate? Maybe in certain areas, may not be in other areas. And especially the technology areas, which even Mitesh talked about, that, hey, because of this innovation days and the way we are looking at the entire technology spectrum, where we are looking more futuristic technologies, customers will be willing to pay extra dollars, whatever is required from their solution and services which they expect. That's my viewpoint from the overall market standpoint. Siddharth?
Yeah, just absolutely echoing what you're trying to say, Jitendra. We have been able to increase rates wherever it is possible, wherever feasible, wherever it makes sense for the customer. We want to work with our customers, not arm twist them. And that is the spirit with which we work with all of our customers. They are part of the Infobeans family, very, very important stakeholders in our growth. And most of our customers have been with us for many, many years, including decades, and not just 1 or 2 years. So it's always a give and take relationship. Happy to say that at least a few of them have proactively come to us and said, hey, why don't you increase the rates? So I just want to stop at that.
Very good to hear that, and all the best to the entire team. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richa. So we can take the next question from Q&A. The question is from Amar. How do you see the order book evolving over the next couple of years, given your geographic exposure to US and other developed markets? Any slowdown in those markets would lead to the cut in the IT expenditure. So given the current recessionary view, how do you expect the order book to evolve?
So Amal, you probably heard our answers here. We don't see recessionary pressures as such. As I said, the market is from insanity to sanity is what we are seeing, which is good. And so order book continues to, you know, move in the in the positive direction is what we believe. So, yeah, next please. So that's a tough one, Sarvesh. What you're asking is what should be a realistic EBITDA percentage and PAT percentage once the recently increased salary costs are digested. As we see lower attrition now and achieve higher scale, so maybe if you can guide the exit quarter of FY24, what is organic and inorganic growth QOQ, YOY for the quarter 9 months? So organic is totally organic, right? Everything is now organic because we had our acquisition from Eternus in the month of October, and December quarter already had the numbers. So that's one. So I think of it as everything organic. I can't give you exact number or exact time where the EBITDA and PAT margins will be back to the steady state numbers that we always aim for. So, you know, it's difficult to answer that question. But I would say maybe next 4 quarters is a fair estimate to, you know, have some better numbers showing up from here. Next, please.
The next one is from SP Bora. Any approximate amount how much management has decided to give a bonus on March? How much the percentage employee cost may will rise?
Okay, so I think I'll give you a range here. It can vary from 5 crores to 10 crores. Any number somewhere in between that. Or, you know, so that range is the wide range I can get it.
And the, given the time constraint, I think we should take these last two questions in the Q&A. So the both are pertaining to EBITDA. So what kind of EBITDA margins are we expecting going forward? Basically, EBITDA and PAT percent.
I think we are able to protect from, you know, 24%. There is a steady state number, so we are more or less there. There are, I think, more factors which is bothering the PAT, right, from, you know, the costs to, you know, revenue growth to depreciation, tax, and then yeah, so multiple factors there. So yeah, I think PAT margins, you know, there is no guidance that I can offer.
Yeah, so there are no questions in the participants as well from. So I would like to hand over the call to Avinash sir, and thank you participants for joining. Over to you, Avinash sir, for the closing remarks.
Thank you everybody for taking your time and spending 1 hour with us to understand the story better, to look at the last quarter numbers and the future directions. Let me also tell you again, there's a lot of media hype on the recessionary pressures and IT demand going down and all of that. But that is mostly around product companies. That is mostly around SaaS companies and B2C companies. B2B companies like ourselves, we are seeing, you know, stable growth momentum and, you know, steady, I would say, demand coming from our customers. We are continuing to try and improve our and optimize our cost, and also, you know, rebalance the pyramid in a way that, you know, we recover the margin levels that we are very sacrosanct about. So we continue to make that effort, and our organic and inorganic piece continues to grow in the strategies that we listed. You know, and the document remains the same. Because it has worked, the strategies have worked for us every quarter and every year. So we continue to operate and work with a very focused mindset. So thank you very much all again, and continue. Thanks, and we are very, very grateful for your confidence and trust in us. Thanks so much again. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.